Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam, doing a recording at my home today. And today we're going to continue with, will you identify the devil's deceit as Christ did? And we're going to look at how the devil tried to tempt him. And it's going to be, this is going to be part two today. And we'll continue in Matthew 4, looking at the next temptation that he had. And then going back and looking at how the devil tried to deceive, what the word of God said, how he took it out of context, and then also what Jesus' answer was and what was meant by that. So with that, let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that your word is good, and that when we continue to read all of your word and we understand it in context, it directs us, it guides us, it leads us into the way of peace, it leads us to your power through faith. That you can do a work in us to change us, to make us into a holy people, to walk in your ways, to be led by your Spirit, O Father. And I thank you for that grace and the blessing that you give through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's offered to all mankind. Father, I pray that you'll bless this time in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so turning with me, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 4. Now, previously, we went through, and in part one, we covered how the devil came to Jesus and tried to get him to turn the stones into bread and tempt him. And we looked at Jesus' answer and what he said and where that came from and what was meant by it. So after that, and that was through verse 4. Next, verse 5, it says, then the devil took him, referring to Jesus, into the holy city, and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put Yahweh or the Lord your God to the test. Here, just for clarification, in the New Testament, whenever you see Lord, to understand if it's Adonai or if it's Yahweh, the proper name of God, you have to go back and actually read in the Old Testament where it was quoted from. In the New Testament, anywhere you see Lord, it just says Kyrios, which means master. But to understand the true meaning of it, you have to go back to the Old Testament and look and understand how it was originally written. So again, verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put Yahweh your God to the test. And that's the reference to the Old Testament reading. So with that, let's go and understand what happened here. So first in verse 5, you look at the devil took him into the city, took him to the temple on the top and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Well, Jesus knew he was the Son of God. He doesn't need any test to prove that he's the Son of God. He knows that he's the Son of God. He knows he had fellowship with the Father. The Spirit abided with him and in him. He had all fullness of God in him. There was no doubt in his mind. But the devil uses these things as if you have to prove yourself. He then quotes a scripture out of context. It's taken from Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 through 12, where he says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The implication is, throw yourself off. As you go flying towards the ground, your heavenly Father is going to make it so that you don't strike your foot against the ground. But is that really the context of what was meant out of that? That is what we're to do? That is how it's to be used? Well, let's go and let's look at Psalm chapter 91. Let's actually see what the Word of God says. So, Psalm chapter 91. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It's 16 verses. It's fairly short. So, Psalm chapter 91, starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, who are we talking about right now? Well, it's those who dwell in the shelter of God, those who abide in His shadow. He says, I will say to Yahweh, ah, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. This is the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. This is the person who will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. They are the ones that say to Yahweh, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings you may seek refuge. You see, this is the blessing that God our Father gives to us, the deliverance that He gives to us, the protection, the covering that He gives to us. If you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, if you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, His faithfulness, the Father's faithfulness, is a shield. It is a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. You will not be afraid of the arrows that fly by the day. You will not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. You see, 1,000 might fall at your side. 10,000 might fall at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will look, you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. You see, the whole context here is when we are dwelling with the Father, we are in His shelter. There is no fear. We are not afraid. We don't fear these things like the world fears. Even though 1,000 falls at your side and dies, or 10,000, it will not touch you if you're truly in God. You will look on with your eyes and you will see the repayment of the wicked. Verse 9. But Thou, O Yahweh, You are my hope, and my soul has made the Most High my refuge. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near to your tent or your dwelling. For He, referring to God, He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample down. Because He has loved me. This is referring to, again, those who make God their refuge. And I'll just substitute the different pronouns, as it's referring to God, so it's not confusing. So He, referring to the one who has made God his refuge, He has loved God. Therefore, God will deliver him. God will set him securely on high, because he has known God's name. He will call upon God, and God will answer him, and God will be with him in trouble, and God will rescue him and honor him with a long life. God will satisfy him and let him see God's salvation. And again, this is for those who love God. And you look at that and you say, well, who are those who love God? God says, those who love me are those who keep my commandments. It's the same thing that Jesus taught. When you go and you read the book of John, about who are those who love him and love the Father and that the Father and the Son will go and make their abode with him. Start reading in John chapter 14. Jesus explains it. These are the promises for that person. Their ways will be secure. They will have protection. That's the context. Not to go around and just intentionally fling yourself off of a roof. No. It's the wicked when it tries to come upon you. You will be protected. So that is how the devil tried to deceive Christ. Using partial scripture. Using conditional ifs as if Christ has to justify that he's the Son of God. Going back, looking at Matthew chapter 5, we say, well then, what did Jesus say in response? He said, on the other hand, you shall not put Yahweh your God to the test. Now that's a quotation from Deuteronomy. Let's go look there. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, it says, you shall not put Yahweh your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah. Now, what's all the context here of what we're reading? Well, we'll also go to when they tested him. That's in Exodus chapter 17. But let's read a little bit more here in Deuteronomy. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you start back, in verse 1, it says, now this is the commandment and statute and judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your God, to keep all his statutes, to keep his commandments, which I am commanded you, all the days of your life, and that your days might be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it might be well with you, and that you might multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You know, this gets back to the greatest commandment that Jesus taught. It's always been from the beginning. But he continues on. He tells them, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind these as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then he warns them that once they receive blessings, once they eat and they're satisfied, verse 12, he says, watch out for yourself that you don't forget Yahweh your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear Yahweh your God and worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods or the gods of the people who surround you. Today it's seeking the pleasures of the world. It's idolatry in the eyes of God. So many put God secondary and third and fourth in their lives. Not necessarily because they desire to do that, just they don't have the new heart and the new desire. God hasn't changed all their desires, so he was always front and center in everything. There's still people desiring things of the world, yet they desire God, but you cannot have both. God will not let you have both. He wants to replace all your desires with just him. Verse 15, Yahweh your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of Yahweh your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. You shall not put Yahweh your God to the test as you tested him at Massah, but you should diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your God his testimonies and statutes which he commanded you, that you shall do what is good and right in the sight of Yahweh, that it might be well with you. Now, we've done an episode on love, the greatest commandment, and what it is. Everybody will agree that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. People have a distorted view of what that means. They use the world's definition, what the devil proclaims, but not what God. You see, God defines what it means to love. He says, when you love, you fulfill the law. You fulfill all the commands. Because when you love your neighbor as yourself, you no longer do any wrong to your neighbor. When you don't sin against your neighbor, you break no law. Therefore, to love your neighbor as yourself is the fulfillment of the law because you no longer break it. Now, we covered that in that episode, Love the Greatest Commandment. We did a couple-part series on it. We go through and explain that as God explains in His Word. It is the teaching and the words of God that we must understand. The devil will seek to twist and distort a little here, a little there. Sprinkle a little loving in here so he can deceive and get people to a point where they have no power. Always striving, seeking after God, but yet sin is always there. A struggle, a constant pleading with God to help them overcome. And they wonder why they cannot, why it's so hard. Because they haven't come in the full truth. They still have leaven in their teaching and doctrines of which they hold to. Verse 24, still in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So Yahweh commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our God for our good, always, and for our survival, as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe or keep His commandments before Yahweh our God, just as He commanded us. And you see, the whole point is, it's not about us trying to do something. That's what Israel did. They tried. Try and you fail. It's through faith that you come to God to get the new heart and the new spirit. That Moses, through the word of God, instructed them. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, he tells them in verse 4 what the problem was. You see, in verse 3, their eyes saw all the great signs and wonders. That wasn't the problem. Verse 4, yet to this day, Yahweh has not given you a heart to know or eyes to see, nor ears to hear. That was the issue. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, he goes and tells them what they need, what Yahweh, their God, wants to do. In verse 6, it says, moreover, Yahweh your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to then love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you might live. You see, until you can have a perfect love, and love is perfected in you, as is discussed in the New Testament that we did episodes on, which only God can do when He circumcises our heart and gives us a new heart and new spirit, you cannot love as God requires you to love. You cannot serve God as He requires you to serve. You cannot be holy in all your behavior as your Heavenly Father is holy, as we're commanded, as Peter instructs. No. Not until you get the new heart and the new spirit. Not until God Almighty has cleansed you from all sin, as He promised through the blessing of His Son Jesus. Many people just aren't hearing all the truth of the full blessing. They're hearing only the partial. A lot of truth. So, you can see, Jesus knew the Word of God. These are the things that He talked about later in His teachings. And He rebuked the devil. The devil is trying to twist the Word of God. It all comes down to, are we able to walk as God has commanded us? To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. To not put God to the test. Because God is a jealous God. He will wipe you off the face of the earth. How do we walk in His ways? How do we have that? It's coming to Him in faith. Believing that God can do the impossible, just like Abraham with his son Isaac when he offered him up on the altar. We did that episode, the faith of Abram versus the faith of Abraham. If your belief is Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness and it happened right then and he had a saving faith and belief at that point in time, you've been deceived. You didn't hear the full story. You've been deceived. Go listen to that episode and understand the full story. The devil only wants you to know half, just as he tried to deceive Christ. But Christ knew Scripture. He knew the words of God. He was not deceived. Exodus chapter 17. What was the testing that Israel did that angered the Father? Well, in Exodus chapter 17, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of Yahweh, and they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses. They said, "Give us water that we might drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test Yahweh?" Now remember, God promised to be with them, to lead them, to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Was it God's desire and promise that they would die in the wilderness? No. But the people didn't trust in faith in the words of God. They trusted him when it was convenient, but not when the trials or the test came, and they failed the test. Listen to the episodes that we did about testing. God tests to find out what's in our heart, and don't test God. Go listen to those episodes. Do a search on that in the descriptions, and they'll come up. Search test. You must understand all the truth so the devil doesn't deceive you with half-truths. Verse 3, the people thirsted for water. They grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us? To kill our children? To kill our livestock with thirst?" That's not what God said. I can assure you, the devil was planting those thoughts into their mind so they would think that. The devil's very crafty. As we continue in this episode series, we're going to learn a lot more about his trickery and deceit. Verse 4, Moses cried out to Yahweh, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." Continuing on in verse 6, God tells him, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it, that the people might drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named that place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested Yahweh, saying, "Is Yahweh among us or not?" You see, when you are anxious, when you worry, that Jesus said, "You have little faith. Where's your faith? Why do you worry? Why do you doubt?" When you look at the problems of the world and they seem bigger than God, which causes you to fear and have anxiousness, and you continue in it, are you not declaring that God is smaller than the world? That which he created, he has no power and authority, that you worry over those things? He's commanded us not to worry about that. You see, worry is a sin. It means you doubt and you don't believe in your Heavenly Father, that he's going to protect and to provide as he promised. This is the context of do not test God. Do not worry about these things. Do you fear God or do you fear man? Do you fear God or do you fear the circumstances of the world? Those are not thoughts of God. God is not putting those thoughts in there, I assure you that. Those are thoughts of the world, of the devil. The things raised up against the knowledge of God, those are the things that are going to be taken captive and destroyed. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your truth and your word. The devil is desperately at work, putting thoughts in people's minds, just as he tempted Christ, even using the word of God, but not taking it in truth or in full context, to deceive, to get people to be weak, to worry, to do things contrary against your will, O Father. Father, I pray that as your light shines, it exposes the deception and the deceit of the devil. I pray that people take every thought and they take it back to the Word of God to see if the thoughts that get planted in their minds, even thoughts of what they think you say about things, that they go back and validate and confirm that it's true, including the thoughts and the things that they have been taught about you, O God. Going to church, listening to the radio, that they take all those things back to your word, O Father, to validate, to confirm that it was spoken in proper context and not twisted. Father, I just thank you. From you comes life. You have granted your mercy, that we may escape the darkness and come into your light. Be glorified and blessed, O God, in our lives. Grow your church. Add to your body. Strengthen your children. Free them from their sin, their worries, their doubts. I pray this, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.